Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're in the fourth week of a four-week Advent message series called Hope is on the Way. And as many of you know, the Advent season is a season of preparation, a time where we look at the events leading up to the birth of Christ and prepare ourselves emotionally, spiritually, to truly celebrate the coming of the Christ child and its meaning for our world and for our lives. In the first week, Pastor Cindy shared with us from the perspective of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and his words about the one who was to come, who was to bring light and hope into the darkness of this world. In the second week, we focused on another character in the Christmas story, and that was a woman by the name of Elizabeth, a much older relative of Mary who late in life became pregnant with a son who we would know as John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Jesus. And then last week, our focus was on that well-known line from the Christmas story, and there was no room for them in the inn, and understanding that in God's economy, there's really room for everyone, from refugees traveling to Bethlehem, to truck drivers out on the interstate, and even people far from God. God gives us each and all room for hope. Now today, our focus is on the shepherds, and our scripture reading for today comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 2 through 29, and today I'll be reading from the New International Version. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, though most of us have heard this story many times before, help us to hear it with fresh ears. Speak to us through these words of faith, we pray, and through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Bill Strayhorn, a Methodist pastor, tells a story about his first church in a small Texas farming community. The church had held the same Christmas pageant for 47 years under the same director. For years, the church's pageant ran like clockwork. Mrs. Wilson was a perfectionist, and perfection was her one and only goal. Nothing short of a perfect pageant would cut it for her. There were perfect lines, perfect pacing, perfect enunciation, perfect everything. The problem was that the director's commitment to perfection was more important to her than the children she was directing. She only wanted a limited number of kids to participate because too many kids might mess things up. She knew which kids would do a good job, and she knew which kids were likely to forget their lines. And of course, she had her favorites. However, the church began reaching out to younger families, many with multiple children, who wanted to be in the pageant. There were more children who wanted to be involved and more parents who wanted their children to be involved. And then there was Mrs. Wilson. Well, then, one October, just as discussion was starting to gear up for the pageant, this topic came up at the Religious Education Committee meeting, which happened to include three mothers of last year's rejected Marys, Josephs, shepherds, and wise men. The committee decided to make a policy change. All children that wanted to be in the Christmas pageant would be included this year. The committee chairperson said, "Surely parks can be found for all of the children. No child will be left behind or out of the play." Mrs. Wilson replied, "Don't call me Shirley." What movie is that from? Airplane. Anyway. Well, actually said, "I quit." That was more than this longtime director could handle. So she resigned in anger and disgust. Although the old director and some of her longtime pageant assistants secretly wanted the pageant to fall on its face, it didn't. It was just a little different. There must have been like a dozen shepherds, 20 angels like a real heavenly host. There were a couple dozen sheep, and these boys and girls must have studied their parts well, because on the night of the production, just like real sheep, they wandered all over the church building. And when Mary and Joseph entered, Mary was clutching a doll wrapped in a blue blanket, and Joseph solemnly walked beside her. The narrator was supposed to read the biblical story about Joseph going to Bethlehem to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. But one of the fathers who was helping out with a pageant realized that the children might not quite understand the King James Version language of the script, especially the part of Mary being great with a child. So he switched it to the Good News translation. So as Mary and Joseph enter, the narrator read, "Joseph went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant." And as that last word echoed through the sound system, little Joseph froze in his tracks. He gave Mary a puzzled look, and then he looked out at the congregation. He said loudly, "Pregnant? Pregnant? What do you mean, pregnant?" And the whole place cracked up, and the pastor's wife wiped her tears from her eyes and said, "You know, that's probably what Joseph actually said." The former director had rather a smug look on her face, which said, "Well, I told you so." But when Silent Night was sung, a couple of magical things happened. First, the sheep bleated their way down the side aisle and sat in the pews to watch the conclusion of the pageant as the former director was surrounded by the very children whom she'd excluded. And through the windows, people could see that snow was gently falling. And people back in Texas appreciate that, not so much in Syracuse. It was magic for them, not for us. But the entire church became very quiet and still. It wasn't planned for, but for a short time, nobody moved, not even the sheep. Then one of the elderly women, who was hard of hearing and always spoke way too loud, broke the silence when she whispered to her husband in a voice all could hear, "Perfect, just perfect." And it was. It wasn't perfect in production, but it was perfect in the way God makes things perfect. The way God accepts our fumbling attempts at love and fairness and then covers them with grace. That night was a night of confusion. That night, things didn't go the way they had gone for the past 47 years. That night, things didn't go smoothly and perfectly according to human standards. That night pretty much went off script. But that night, there was a profound sense that God was real and present. Not all planned out and programmed and perfect, but that God was present in that moment. I think that's how God often works. Not through our well-thought-out plans, but many times in spite of them. Sometimes it's when things aren't working according to our plans that God has an opportunity to actually break into our world and into our lives with his presence. And that kind of fits the story that comes from our scripture reading for today. That night, the night of Christ's birth, was filled with the unexpected. It unfolded in a way that no playwright would have ever written it. Yet it happened just as God intended, which quite often is different than what we expect. It started with an appearance by angels announcing the birth of the Messiah, not to royalty or the religious leaders of that day, but to common shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their sheep by night. That's not quite right, is it? I mean, human logic would tell us that the shepherds would be like the last to know, because they're like the bottom of the pecking order, the bottom of the social order that day. Shepherds were like nobodies. And what kind of message do you think God was sending by announcing the birth first to unsophisticated shepherds in the field? I mean, what's up with that? Perhaps God was giving a message about inclusion. That God was giving hope to all people everywhere, and he was starting at the bottom, not at the top of our way of looking at things. He started not with the perfect, but with the flaw, which pretty much includes us. Shepherds were among the poorest of the poor, and while their work was important for the good of the economy, providing wool and meat, nobody really paid much attention to the shepherds. They were kind of like sanitation workers of today, a job that nobody pays attention to until their job isn't being done, then we know. Being a shepherd was not something people aspired to. It's just they kind of fell into it, last choice. In those days, shepherds were viewed as a rung or two like above lepers. They were looked on as untrustworthy and kind of thought of like we'd think of gypsies. They were viewed as being unclean, which makes sense because tending to sheep is kind of a messy business. Every now, a shepherd would step into a pile, and there are no bathrooms or running water to clean up, and they would wear the same clothes for weeks at a time. Can you imagine hanging out with those folks? I think you get the picture. Pretty smelly lot. And I don't think any of us here today really would want to sit next to a shepherd at the Christmas Eve service coming up. Am I right? Yet the announcement of the Messiah's birth comes first to them. I don't think it was by accident. I don't think God does anything by accident. Rather, it sends a very intentional message to the world and to all of us. God comes not when we have our act together and not when everything is going according to plan and not when everything is perfect, but God's presence comes to us in the midst of our realities, whatever they might be. The story of Jesus' birth was announced to the lowly shepherds. The story of Jesus' birth started at a barn, not a palace. The story of Jesus' ministry was often centered around the least of these, my brothers. Maybe by starting with the shepherds, God is reinforcing a central message of the gospel that is the good news is for all people everywhere. Biblical scholar William Barclay tells us that shepherds were despised by the orthodox good people of that day. Shepherds were quite unable to keep all the details of ceremonial law, and they couldn't observe all the meticulous hand-washing and rules and regulations, so the orthodox crowd looked down on them as unworthy. But isn't that just like God? God chooses a pregnant, unwed teenager to give birth to the Lord of Lords and the Prince of Peace. God uses an innkeeper who takes in a refugee woman who's great with child. God first announces the birth of the long-awaited Messiah to who? Lowly shepherds out in the field. I want to close with this. It's from Matthew's account of the Christmas story. The story of the three wise men, or kings, or magi, or whatever you would call them. No matter what they were called, they were at the other end of the spectrum. Matthew's story was about wise men bearing gold and frankincense and myrrh, but Luke's telling of the very same story is about mud and manure and smelly shepherds. That's Christmas. It's not about hope for rich or poor or smelly shepherds or wise kings. It's hope for all. The wise men were men of great status and learning. They were elites and they studied the stars and they knew the great prophecies of a Jewish Savior or Messiah. And when a new star bright star appeared in the east, they were intrigued and compelled to follow that star until it stopped over the place where Jesus lay. And in Matthew 2:11, we read this. And when they came into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. The angels announced the good news to the lowly shepherds. They came, they saw, they returned, they knelt down. The wise men, the scholars came, saw, fell down, and worshiped. The hope for shepherds, the hope for wise men, and the hope of all who fall in between were found that day in the manger in Bethlehem. The angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people." Shepherds, wise men, street people, CEOs, good news is God's love is for all. And I love the way St. Paul puts this. And so in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees. And all will proclaim that Christ is Lord. In the Christmas carol, "O Holy Night," we hear these words. "Fall on your knees. O hear the angel voices. O night divine. O night when Christ was born." Hope for shepherds, hope for wise men, hope for street people, hope for presidents and CEOs, hope for you, hope for me, hope for all people everywhere. Let us all fall on our knees and worship him. Let us pray. Lord God, on this weekend before Christmas, remind us once again of the hope that you bring into our lives and into our world. Hope not because everything is neat and perfect, but hope that comes from your presence in the midst of our messes. Hope that comes in our chaos and confusion. Hope that comes for shepherds and for people like us. Help us celebrate not because everything is perfect, but because your love is at work perfecting us. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.